Really pleased to introduce you to Karen Cook. Karen is a leader of Freedom Church with her husband Chris, and I first got to know them. It's probably when you first came back down to Cardiff, and I go to the Cardiff leaders meeting up at Glenwood, and we met there. And in that first meeting, the Lord gave me a word of encouragement for them, and ever since then I've been praying for them and for Freedom Church in Cardiff. And it's been amazing to see. If you know Freedom Church, I don't need to explain, you know, but the Lord has just done some great things through these guys over these past few years. And Freedom started off in Leominster, up in Hereford, and now they've planted churches all over the world. And it's fantastic to see what the Lord is doing through their community. I love going to be with these guys because they have passion and they have enthusiasm and they have encouragement, and they carry that gift of encouragement with them. We've got one guy who in our church who has got the gift of encouragement, and we love him, Dave, because he makes everybody feel so amazing. And but you guys carry that, you know, and you're an encouragement to us as a church. You're encouragement to the churches in Cardiff, and so we want to honour you, we want to bless you. Thank you so much for coming along. Karen's got a bit of a croaky voice this morning, but we've prayed and the Lord is going to bring her through, and I know that she's got a word for us today, you know, and I believe that we're going to hear the voice of God for us as a church, but also for us as individuals. So Karen, do you want to come up? Let's welcome. So Father, we just pray for Karen now, and just ask, Lord, that you would bless her. Lord, you've already anointed her for this task, and we just want to pray that you would empower her. Lord, let us hear your voice in the words that she speaks. Bless her, Lord, we pray. Increase her influence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless her. Okay, Rob, me and you, got the same problem. So I'm going to try. It happened last night. And this morning I woke up and I said to my husband, you're preaching tomorrow, today. And I was like, no, God's given me a word and I'm going to come and deliver it to you. So bear with me. I am passionate about church. And, you know, it is something that over the years I've always been passionate about God. I got saved when I was 21. In university. I'm now older than that. And but the passion for God has never, ever ceased. But I can't say my passion for church has always been the same. But what happened about 15 years ago completely changed my life. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that story. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you so much for welcoming myself and Tony here this morning. I hope this is not a distraction. Just ignore the sound and get the heart, okay? So I want to talk to you about a real passion of mine, which is the bride of Christ. We call it the house of God, the ecclesia, the church. And I want to talk to you about that passion. Because if you're going to go into this year as disciples making disciples, you've got to have a passion for what you're going to bring those disciples into. And so in Ephesians 5, it talks about husbands loving your wife as Christ loved the church and died for her. And then it goes on in that scripture and it says, in order to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And I believe that you here today, and we as Christians here in this city, in this nation, are called to be his hands and feet. We are called to be his hands and feet, in order to prepare his bride for his return. And I'm so passionate about this. As I say, I've not always been in a church that I was passionate about. And when my husband and I first joined the church, we've only been in three churches in our life. One when we were first married in North Devon, and then we were there for a couple of years. And then we moved to Cardiff, actually, whilst he was in uni, so it's four churches. And we were a part of Glenwood for 2 years, where we got some solid Bible teaching. But then for the last 27 years, we were in Hereford. And we were a part of a church for 10 years there that I would say was, how can I put it in a nice way? It was a church with no vision. but it was church full of division. And for 10 years, we struggled. And Chris and I were assistant pastors. And the vision of the senior pastor was so different to ours. And we shouldn't have stayed. And we became negative. And we became critical. And I think probably 2 years in, we should have said, our time is up. If you can't submit under the vision of the senior leadership, you either have to submit or you have to leave. And we stayed too long. There was a point then during that time where there was Brazilian missionaries that came over. And they came to the church. And it was so exciting and they were passionate about God. And one of their leaders said to my husband this one night, I got a word for you. And Chris was like, oh, great. So good. I'm really excited about this word. And he said, I'll meet you tomorrow. Come to the place I'm staying. And he basically, for a good 2 hours, told Chris how he was fueling disunity, how he was bringing negativity in the church, and how he was dividing what was so precious to Jesus, which is his bride. And Chris said every word he brought was like a slap, and yet it felt good, because God disciplines those he loves. And as a result of that, we both asked our leadership team for forgiveness. We had gone around everyone in the church who we'd spread negativity to and said, look, we're sorry, we shouldn't have said those things. And then about a year later, we did leave in an amicable way, in a good way, in a way that where we'd been forgiven and we had forgiven. And that's when we joined the church that we're in now, which then was called New Life Christian Fellowship. And now it's called Freedom Church. And you know what? I can honestly, truly say that for the last 14 years that we've been there, this is a church where there is no disunity. There's such a united force in us as disciples making disciples. That's our passion. We want to see people come to know Jesus. We don't want to be backbiting in church. We don't want to be speaking behind each other's backs. We want to nip those disunity seeds when they start spreading. And we have. And for me, this scripture means everything to me. The zeal for his house now consumes me. I love his church so much. I'm passionate about his church, his bride, and making her so beautiful for him. Imagine there's been times in all of your lives where church wasn't what you wanted it to be. And you've left church sometimes and said, oh, I like that song. I didn't like that song. Why do we sing so many songs? Why do we do church the way we do church? Why did leadership make that decision? And I don't even see it, let alone agree with it. We've all been there, I think. But I'm so glad that Brazilian missionary, Coutu, his name was, brought a challenge to us because we changed. Who do you need to challenge today? Yourself. Maybe there are things in your life, in your heart. This isn't an easy message, by the way. It's not a stroke you, I love you. Because I really believe that there is purpose in this church, in Eden Church. I truly believe that you're going to make a difference in this town. And so we have to, in order to go out and make disciples, look at ourselves first. Or is it someone else? Is there somebody talking to you about the negativity or talking about you to you about, I don't know why we joined as two churches, because it's not working, obviously. Is there someone that you need to go up to gently with grace and say, hey, I don't want to listen to that anymore. I want to love you and I want to help you. But I don't want to listen to that anymore. Because this scripture, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, has been one that I have stood by in the last 14 years. Thou will not choose to sit in the company of those that mock the bride. I can't, it breaks my heart. It totally breaks my heart. And I think some people in some churches actually sit too long. And if you sit too long and you're not active and you're not involved and you're not giving your whole heart, you will start to mock. You will start to criticize. And I never, never want that to be me. And I've got people over me who I say to them, you speak into my life. If there's anything that you see in me that is critical or negative, I want to know. The Amplified Version of the Bible talks about the zeal for his house has eaten me up. I want to be eaten up. I want to be eaten up by the passion for the bride of Christ. I'm addicted to the house of God. I cannot get enough of it. I cannot. Yes, do we have problems in church? Do we have people who we struggle with? Oh, yes. That's why I bring Tony's my wonderful pastor friend. She's our assistant pastor in Freedom. And Tony has the most beautiful heart. And we were even sharing this week how I was saying, Tony, there's some people, I just have to palm them off on you because you've got more grace than me. But we love the church and we love God so much. If we look at scripture in John 2, it talks about when Jesus went into the temple. And I just imagine Jesus when he went into the temple, you know the time where he turned the tables over? I believe in his heart of hearts, he was like, enough is enough. Come on, people. Come on, what does church, what does my Father's house really mean to you? And he flipped the tables. And it says in that scripture, the disciples remembered the scripture that says, yeah, the zeal for his house consumes us, consumes him. Do you know where there's some things I believe going on in the church? And I'll say the general church, and then you can personalize it. Where we need to say no to gossip. We need to say no to negativity. And we need to say yes to building a relevant church for this generation. We need to say no to negativity. And we need to say yes to bringing up the young leaders of our generation into leadership. Because they're the ones that are going to take the church forward when I'm dead and buried. We need to say no to religious thinking. And maybe the way that we've always done it. And we need to say yes to building a church culture that you're building, where the people outside these walls are more important than the ones inside. We have a statement in our church, the Sunday's not our own. Sunday morning is not for us. We already know Jesus. We already know him. It's for those guests that come through our doors, where we offer the biggest smile, the biggest words of encouragement. And you know, we have a volunteer culture in our church where enough is not enough. We'll always give that bit more to see somebody get to know this amazing Jesus that I've come to know. I love this statement. I mean, it resounds in my heart so much. And a disciple is a follower, isn't it? It's a follower. It's a follower of a teacher or a follower of a leader. And we're all disciples because we're all following someone. And we're all following Jesus, but there's always someone in our life, someone in your sphere of influence that you're following. But there's always someone following you as well. And I suppose the question I'd like to ask you is, if they're following you, what are they learning from you? I believe there are things that people around you are learning from you that are incredible. Resilience, loyalty, friendship. Prayer, you know, we got someone coming up earlier and passionately speaking about we can't do without prayer. Somebody's following you in your prayer life. But I suppose there's also another question is, if there's one area in your life that you don't want them to follow, what is that? Because we need to change those areas, don't we? We need to change those areas that if someone's watching you, and you're being a role model to them. That actually, and I want you modeling that part of me, thank you. I want to talk to you about two of my friends. This is a couple called Ryan and Hannah. And they have a zeal for the house of God that is possibly beyond anyone I know. Hannah and Ryan were students in Cardiff University, and they joined Freedom Church about 5 years ago. Ryan is a trained science teacher, and Hannah is a qualified doctor, so she did her medical training in Cardiff. And they were so passionate about church, they came in, and they just love people. They love people. Everybody wanted to be around Ryan and Hannah's, because they just oozed the love of God. And we saw potential in them. Chris and I saw leadership in them. We started growing them, and we started developing them. They were house group leaders. And then they became what we call our coaches, who oversee our house group leaders. And then we started a church, a Freedom Church in Swansea. And we thought, you know what? They could be pastors. She's a doctor. She's doing her training. He's a full-time science teacher at this point. But we thought, you know what? We can't not ask them. I believe you can't ask passionate believers of Christ enough. I think if you're passionate for Christ, you'll do anything for him. And so we proposed the question. We said, look, we're starting a church in Swansea. We know you're a doctor. We know you're a teacher, but what do you reckon? And they went, we would not want to do anything else. They moved down there. They started growing church. As a result of Freedom Swansea, we've now sent people to the Netherlands to plant in Freedom Rotterdam. So we trained people up in Swansea. They've gone to Rotterdam. We've got some who are going on our Scottish church plant this year from Swansea. If this couple hadn't have said yes, I don't know where so many of our Swansea campus, our Swansea church, would be. And then I want to tell you about this crazy, crazy couple. This is Luke and Sophie. Sophie's a Cardiff girl through and through. And Sophie's from the Llanedin Park, Cardiff. She's a cousin to Tony. And she was a bit of a girl. And she spent most of her life and making her mum despair with what the heck she was going to do. And then 4 years ago, Sophie gives her life to Jesus. And immediately she knew that her future was huge. She had so much potential in her. We run a leadership academy in Freedom Church in Hereford. And she said, I want to train. I want to learn. I don't know what that's for, but I just want to do something for Jesus. He's done so much for me. She went and did our leadership academy, finished academy, and joined our kids team in our Freedom Church in Kampala, Uganda. And she served there for a year on her own, all Kampalans around her. She just loved those kids. She loved Jesus. But then she started some dating, right? So she had met Luke back in Hereford. He's a good old farmer's boy from Hereford. And Luke was at this time doing the academy. And they met when she came back on a holiday, started dating. And then they did distance dating online. Luke was then called to Cambodia to plant church in Freedom Church in Cambodia. And so for a year, they just communicated on Skype. And then a year last September, got married. And it was the most beautiful wedding, a wedding of grace, a wedding of, oh, just beauty. A month after, they put themselves forward to be our pastors for Freedom Church in Chennai, in India. 1 month married. We are like, this is crazy. This is possibly not a good idea. You know, we have a responsibility because Chris and I are not just pastors in Cardiff. We pastor the pastors. So we're on what we call our locations team, our apostolic team. And so we're responsible for training and equipping those that go out in the field. Like a month married. Oh my gosh. In 1 year, so they've been out there, 1.5 years now. We've got a church in Chennai of over 75 people, over 50 Hindus that are converted into Christianity as a result of this bonkers couple that says the zeal for the Lord, the zeal for his house consumes me. They're crazy. So I suppose what I want to ask you is, in the 30-odd years of doing life as a Christian and in ministry and leading church, I've seen two types of people. There's the all-me person and there's the all-you person. And the all-me person is that spectator that guest to the wedding, not the bride, not really being consumed by the bride. And the difference between the all me and the all you is all me's go to church distinctly for what they can get. I'm going on Sunday because I will get a great cup of coffee. I will get friendship. I will get to sing some amazing songs with these fantastic musicians. Worship was amazing, guys. Thank you so much. Didn't like the third song, the all me people would say. But you know, it was okay. I didn't say that. The all me people talk about give me, I want. And I, for me, it's like, well, Jesus gave his life. What more do we want than him dying for us? His ultimate desire is that we bring our hearts and we bring our hands ready to serve this beautiful thing called the bride. And when Simon or the leaders here in this beautiful church says, hey, we're going to be doing something new. We're going to be going out into the estates of this town. We're going to be outreaching. I know you're a mission-based church, and you're going to be out, going out. And you've had a tired week, and you've had a busy, busy time. And you're there Saturday morning thinking, yeah, I'm sure somebody else will go. I want to bring a challenge that you're going to build this church, and it's going to impact this city. I truly believe that. But it comes with the heart, and it comes with your hands. And I suppose the challenge is what's in it for me versus take all of me. That's the challenge, isn't it, for all of us? Is what's in it for me? If I come to Eden Church, what am I going to get out of it? Am I going to be on the worship team? Am I going to get to speak? Am I going to be involved? Or is it you, here I am. Send me whatever you want of me. I'll make the coffee. I'll wash the toilets. I'll work on the kids' team. Do you know what? That's building church. That's building. That's presenting the bride of Christ. Those people out on the kids' team, I honour them. Do you know what? Why don't we all honour them after today? And go up to them and say thank you so much for looking after our children. For building into that generation. Because sometimes we take people for granted, don't we? And it's so easy to do that. Do you know one of the things that I've learned over time? Is that before he takes us to roles, before he gives us those titles, he takes us to our knees. He takes us to our knees before he takes us to the heights. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and then he will lift you up in due time. And if any of you are here today, and that's resounding, where, you know, maybe, and I know we've all been there, where you feel like you want a position in church, where you feel like, they're not recognizing my gifting here. Get down on your knees. Humble yourself before him. He will lift you up. And I've got a whole story and another preacher on how God did that for Chris and I. Oh, we had to humble ourselves. We had to, when we said sorry to the church, we were out of leadership for a good couple of years. Not doing anything. Not involved. Just being there. Just serving the coffee. Just being loving people with no title, no role. It's a hard time. But unless you get down, you ain't going up. Can I talk to parents here? And I've seen this so much over the years. I've got three children, amazing kids. And I've got a girl who's 25 and she's pregnant and I'm going to be a grandma, which is really exciting. I only found out just a few weeks ago, so I'm just excited about that. Just get excited in me after. So she's pregnant. She lives in Belgium and her and her husband run our church in Belgium in Bruges. And then I've got a middle son and he's married to a girl called Meg and they live in Birmingham and they're... I'm sorry, this is really bad. They lead the church in Birmingham. It's not just family, okay? And then I got a little girl. She's 20. She's my baby. And she lives in Belgium as well. And she's a worship leader in Belgium. Do you know what? When we were going through our tough times, they would have been late primary, early secondary. When we were going through our negative spouts, when we were being angry about leadership, But you know, we chose never to say anything in front of them. We chose to protect their ears, protect their hearts. We would try to have the conversations outside of their world and only lift up our leaders in front of them. Because I've seen so many times that negative thinking of parents and how it affects children. And you know what? I want to speak to parents here whose children are not following God at the moment. Do you know what? I have seen miracles. And I want to encourage you today. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep pursuing Jesus. Your children, if you've sown seeds in, they're going to come through. God's got a plan. You know, my kids had wobbles, big wobbles. And yet I just kept believing and God kept delivering. So I just want to encourage you here today. So let's move on. The bride of Christ. Do you know what? If you are an all me person, I've been an all me person. It's all about me and nobody understands me and nobody's given me anything. You can change. But your change comes when you start lifting your eyes up and seeing way beyond your own circumstances of life. It says in the Psalms, doesn't it? Where does my help come from? It comes from the hills. It's like lift up your eyes to him. Whatever you're going through at the moment, he's saying lift up your eyes. Because he has the answer. But up and down this nation, and even across the world, I see it. I see the brokenness of the bride of Christ. And it breaks my heart. I see bored brides. I see hurting brides. I see selfish brides. I see religious brides. And I want to play you a video now. And it's a video that we made in our church. It's a good 5 or 6 years old now, I think. But it's all about the bride. It's all about the different components of the church that God is calling you into. And I just want us to have a look at this and then I'll come back up.
The journey has been long, and the journey has been tiresome. But every second was stepped into, knowing that the beauty of the end result was worth every painful stride. It's worth every step. Her radiance, her beauty was worth the journey undertaken. This was not some unoriginal, meaningless adventure, but the ultimate plan, whose blueprints and architecture were created before the beginning of time. The vision of this perfection was set about by God and then founded by the prophets and apostles of old. The foundations were laid down deep. Declarations and missions were spoken out long ago to bring people on the journey. Thousands of years ago, vision was laid out. We were given an understanding of what was called of us. Our heritage is what will propel us into the undeniably great destiny that lies before us. Their wisdom and guidance hold us firm in the direction in which we are headed. Then, there are the watchmen on the tower, those who look and protect. They stand guard everything that could come into contact with this movement. They are the ones who foresee, fight, worship with all that they have. Spiritual warfare is built into their DNA. They live out words of scripture to the letter. They stand when all the others fall away. They will protect this bride with their very lives, not stopping, not relenting until they see with their eyes what they perceive with their mind. Then there were those who were born to encourage and build. Those who have come to see her without blemish or imperfection. All are called to build, but these have a special and particular gift. They have been set apart to chisel away the rough edges and to see people transformed. To live out every inch of the potential that is within them. These are the people whose lives can't help but show their love. Their love for the Father in heaven, whose very existence is committed to people. Worshippers, There are those whose passion is like a war cry into battle. Their voices cause the enemies of the bride to scream and writhe in pain because they know that their time is short. These lead the armies of God into battle with their ferocious and aggressive love. And then the visionaries, the driving force behind every mission that has been sent. They lead with passion and practicality. People are swept up in their vision to see the things beyond we now see. Their gaze is constantly fixed on the bigger picture rather than the minor details. Their love for the bride is undeniable and unrivaled. With each moment, they take forward steps of audacious faith, believing that God will move on their behalf. They brought the bride on the journey, protected her, defended her, lived and died for her. However, the one thing greater than her heritage is her destiny.
What the church was about the prophets of old that foretold its coming, the builders, the encouragers, the watchmen, the worshippers, the visionaries. And you know what? Oh my gosh, I've been in this church for an hour and I've seen the visionary, I've seen the worshippers, I've seen the intercessors. You've got the within your small grouping, you've got the potential to make such a huge difference. It's recognizing that within you. It's recognizing that you, honestly, I so believe that your voice is not just a voice. It's a voice to really see warfare happen. I believe that you're going to cut into places that no one else cuts into because your passion for Jesus is so strong. So strong. Keep going. Keep believing whether others give up. Keep going to places where others are cautious about going. There's a boldness within you. And I believe that the enemy shudders when you sing. And I see you singing over people. I see people coming to you. And you're just going to be in the middle of praying for them. And you're going to set them free with your worship. God has given you such a beautiful gift. Such a beautiful gift. We all need, every one of us is a part of the bride. And all we need to figure out is what is our part. Because if your part is missing, then a part of the bride doesn't get presented as stainless and spotless and blemish free. But God, what I want to say is, God wants a house, not an apartment block. So many churches build their apartment blocks within one house. It's the worship team is the most important. But then the kids team don't talk to the youth team because it's our bit and ours is the most important. It's the house of God. It's not one little apartment or another. And you here in Eden Church, we need to build the house that God has purposed for the house in Penarth. When people speak against the bride, it upsets me. And I want to challenge you today, as disciples who make disciples, I want you to go away from today declaring that I am an all you disciple, not an all me disciple. I'm all out for you. I'm all out for presenting your bride as spotless. I'm all out for building the house of God. anything, all of me, because he's done so much for you. So let's make that decision today, that when we leave here, let's look at those areas in our life that maybe we don't want somebody following that part of me. I get a bit edgy. I get a bit angry. I'm not that patient. That's me, that is. Those are the bits that I need to work on. But it's in all of us. So I want to pray for you as a church, if that's okay. And then we're going to finish and I'll hand back over to you. God, what a privilege it is to be in other places, seeing other parts of your house being built, God. Lord, what a privilege it is today to be a part of Eden Church and see their hearts for reaching out into this wonderful community of Penarth. Father, I thank you for the worshippers. I thank you for the visionaries. I thank you for those that build and encourage the pastors in this house. I thank you, Jesus, that those that are reaching out to the broken, the ones on the streets that have nothing. I thank you for those that fuel the passion of intercession in this place, because truly without prayer we have nothing. And I thank you, Father, for the oversight, for the apostles, for those that set direction. I pray that in harmony and unity, this church will go forward and make a huge, huge, monumental difference in this town. God, I pray your blessing upon everyone here, and even those that are not, Father. I pray that you will guide, that you will challenge, that you will encourage, and that you'll keep us all on that right track following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.